These are real people. They do have struggles.
And it starts to get on my nerves. I just shut down.
So many people suffer from mental illness.
To get the word out that men have got to start talking.
A lot of people don't understand the depth of the situation, so they can't appreciate,
It's difficult dealing with our minds, and the suicidal thoughts were back.
People knew that there was something not right, but they just never really said anything or probably felt like it wasn't their place to say anything.
You're not depressed, it's all in your head. That's probably the statement I've had people say the most.
I mean, this shit is real, and it's hard, it's exhausting.
Sometimes you need somebody to just give you permission.
And I think people realize how helpful that one conversation can be just to figure out why you are feeling the way you are.
Not only did this help me to write it, it potentially might have helped some other people as well. So it sort of started from there.
People just want to know that they're safe to talk and share these things.
So many people think they're alone. And then you hear other people talk about it and they think, oh, that's so brave, or I could relate to that. And then they want to talk about it.
Hello and welcome to the Open Journal podcast. I hope you're well. I hope things are good for you right now. Thank you so much for joining us. In this episode, I'm delighted to say we have new guests. Robin and Alison are going to be with us today, and we're going to be talking about the Wave Project, which is a surf therapy charity delivering services and support to young people, to over 2,000 young people now. A really interesting conversation to hear a bit about how the Wave Project got started, where it is now, but also to hear some of Robin's experience as well. So a big thank you to both Robin and Alison for coming onto the podcast, for sharing your knowledge and your expertise around the Wave Project and the support and service that is there as well. Just really interesting to sit down and talk about surf therapy. So I really hope you enjoy this episode. Really interesting conversation, and obviously, as always, links at the end of the episode or in the show notes, so you can go away and find out more about the Wave Project and all of the amazing things that are happening there. I really hope you enjoy this episode, and as always, there is an opportunity on your podcast platform of choice to leave a review. 5 stars really does help other people discover the podcast and the conversations and signposting that are happening here. Also, if you're interested, after hearing Robin and Alison speak, in maybe being a guest yourself in the future, you can find information on the website, which is openjournalbc.com. Have a look there, get in contact, and potentially you could be a guest in the future as well. Again, a big thank you to Robin and Alison for sharing your experiences. It really, really was an interesting conversation, and I really want to have another one at some stage in the future as well to hear all of the amazing things that are going to be happening very soon at the Wave Project. Thank you so much for listening. Here's our conversation. It's really nice to be sat down with you this evening. I'm really looking forward to hearing a little bit about your project. It's something very different to some of the guests we've had on before. But just before we get started, can you tell me just a little bit about how your week is going and how things are with you at the moment?
Yeah, okay. So we're having a bit of a quiet week this week, actually. We've run our new surf therapy courses twice a year, and our autumn courses are finished now. So we've still got some surf clubs going on. I can tell you the difference between surf therapy and surf club shortly. But we're moving into our quiet season now. It's cold and dark. So I've had quite a nice week, thank you. How about you, Robin?
Yeah. My brain's a bit mush, but besides that, it's been all right.
Yeah. So we're good, thank you.
We said it's like this weird time now, isn't it? Where we've just had daylight savings and the light is changing and everything feels a little bit strange. I'm still not quite used to the recording in the dark. Feels very different at the moment. I'm not used to, I need to set up some lights and things like that. It's definitely impacted. And I imagine some of the stuff we're going to talk about in a minute that might have impacted the work that you do as well. Robin and Anthony, it'd be really nice just to hear a little bit about kind of who you are and how you got to be involved with the project that we're going to talk about today. If people don't know a little bit about you already.
Okay. In 2020, I first got involved because I took part in the course myself. And then I progressed through about a year, and then I started volunteering with the Wave Project. And yeah.
Now she spends a lot of time with the WAVE project. I would say Robin.
Yeah,
is.
A little bit of time with the WAVE project is an understatement. They can't get rid of me.
It's nice to hear you've had that kind of that journey through as well, and that time with the project to experience it in different ways, I imagine, over that time.
I think it's definitely good to get all sides of the project. I think it's good. I've got the experience of the child, so then I kind of have the good. My words are getting all jumbled up.
You're all right, keep going.
Yeah, I think it's good to have the experience of being a child in the project and then going on to become a volunteer. I think you have a decent understanding of it.
It definitely, I think, I've had guests before that work in different areas of kind of mental health services and wellbeing and different projects, and I think that lived experience of whether it's illnesses or successes around mental health and wellbeing and accessing different services definitely gives like more of an insight into what people can get out of those projects. And then when you're helping the delivery of those, it really adds quite a lot to how they're put together and how people receive them. And the sometimes I think like the empathy that sits behind those projects makes a real difference, because of the way I'm sure that there's lots of people that could work out the practicalities of the things that happen within your project, but you will add that experience and that care that isn't always possible for someone that hasn't had that lived experience to kind of add in.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I see a lot of myself and the kids that I work with. A lot of similarities in the way they act.
Yeah, I think 100% what Robin brings to the project is, like you say, empathy. And she, you know, we ask a lot of these kids that are coming along, we've never met before, and we're asking them to put their trust in us to get into a wetsuit, to get into the cold sea. Some kids haven't been to the beach before, and they have to put a lot of trust in us. And Robin has that understanding because she was once that scared teenager too. And she's hugely empathetic. So I think, and she also teaches a lot. You know, she teaches us a lot, because with Robin, since Robin's time with the WAVE project, she's had an autism diagnosis, haven't you? And a lot of the things, a lot of sensory things, a lot of noises, a lot of triggers that maybe we don't understand and see in children's behavior, Robin will come and say to us, oh, that's because of this, or I felt like this, or I felt like that. So not only is Robin a great volunteer because the kids love her, they don't want to be with the old wrinkly volunteers, they want to be with the young cool volunteers, she has this massive understanding, so she, you know, the kids love being with her, but Robin teaches us as well what we maybe don't see. So she's a huge value to the WAVE project.
It's really nice, thank you for sharing that. I think we've kind of introduced it there. If people don't know about the WAVE project, how would you kind of introduce them to what it is and maybe how it started as well?
Yeah, sure. So we're a surf therapy charity, and we've been in Scotland since 2014. We started out in Cornwall in 2010, so we've been going some time now. And we're a mental health charity, so we welcome children between the ages of 8 and 18 facing many different challenges, a chance to come along and have a 6-week block of surf therapy. So we work in three different phases, and phase one is this 6-week block whereby the kids come along and they're paired one-to-one with a volunteer, and that's where the magic happens, because yes, we take them into the sea and we're teaching them to surf, so they're learning a new skill, they're out in the fresh air, they're, well, certainly when we're up in Scotland feeling the cold. We see a lot of videos of surf therapy down south, and the water is somewhat bluer and warmer than it is up here. But there's so many different elements to it. It's not just the outside and the sea and the fact that you're learning a skill. The real magic happens because our kids are paired up one-to-one with our volunteers. So we have a huge bank of volunteers that come along and give their time, energy, enthusiasm to work one-to-one with these kids. And we offer a real child-led safe space whereby if the kids don't feel like going into the sea, they don't have to, we can go for a walk, we can build sandcastles, we all are welcome basically, and it's a real happy, safe, positive environment to be in. So the kids come along for 6 consecutive weeks, and hopefully feel the benefit, hopefully enjoy learning a new skill as well as being in a really nice, positive, safe place. And following that, they're invited to come to our surf club. So our surf clubs tend to be a different time of day, so different volunteers, different kids come along. So the youngsters are able to, you know, increase their social circle, increase their confidence, their surf skills, which is great, but it's still a very safe, positive environment, but they're meeting new people. So they're still challenging themselves, but learning coping mechanisms, learning it's okay to fall off your board, you get up and do it again, learning that it's okay to, what's the word, fail. Everybody fails. So, you know, we all fall off. It's a really hard skill to learn, but when you fall off at the Wave Project, you get a big cheer and a high five, and, you know, you're celebrated for having the worst wipeout ever. So we're teaching the kids that just coming along on a Saturday morning, getting out of, you know, what an environment may be stressful, that actually everything feels better when you've been out in the fresh air, in the sea especially. So that's phase two, our surf club. And that's what Robin was saying. After her 6 weeks, she came along and joined our surf club. And then phase three, hopefully the kids come back and volunteer. So that's where Robin's at now and has been doing for some time. So yeah, we're a three-phase operation. And it works, really works.
It sounds so interesting. It's so different, I think, to kind of usually what I hear. Like, it's a small island here. It is surprising there isn't more kind of sea-based activities that are happening to encourage people, like you say, not just from a well-being point of view, but also from an ability point of view, to be able to swim or surf or use the kind of the natural land, well, lack of land,
absolutely,
I suppose, that's around us. Sometimes you sort of, yeah, I feel like I'm surprised sometimes, and you pause and go, I shouldn't be, like, there should be more of this. That's where we should be. But it's interesting you're talking about kind of Robin's experience, kind of moving through being someone that's using or accessing that program and then volunteering and being part of it. How does that process like feel different to you, Robin? Like, because you've been through something I guess not everyone will go through, not everyone progresses through, and has that opportunity or that experience that you've had.
Yeah, like, do you mean from like the start?
Yeah, just from the beginning, because you come in, you mentioned kind of coming into the service, but then how that project has kind of continued with you.
Okay. When I first came, I held Alison's hand. The first two sessions, I didn't talk, didn't say a word. And to be honest, I didn't really like it the first two times. Well, not so much I didn't like it. It was more the fact that I'd been to so many things and gone through so many kind of therapy things and had them all fail. And I was just like, it's going to be another one of them. It's just going to be another one of those things that you go to and then it's just like, ugh, you know? And then slowly but surely, I was like, okay, maybe this is different. You know, this got something in it that's, you know, you just immediately feel welcomed in the environment. You know, and you over the couple of weeks as I was going through it, I was like, okay, maybe I can drop my guard here. You know, I've had to keep it up for so long, but I can finally kind of drop it. So the confidence built over the 6 weeks that I went through the course, and I did a very big thing. I went to the shops, which I know sounds daft, but I went to the shops after the 6 weeks and I was very proud of myself. I hated it, but I went into the shops. And then, because I'd done my stuff that was the October one, so we had a wee break because it was Baltic outside and I didn't want to go in the sea, to be honest. And then I joined Surf Club. And it all kind of really spiraled from there, really, didn't it? My confidence grew immensely every time I went out into the sea. As Alison said, I started to meet with new people everywhere, and I was like terrified of that. But I got better at it. I started including myself in the circle when we used to introduce our names, because we used to stand in a circle. We still do stand in a circle, introduce our names. But slowly but surely, I started to do that. Oh, my voice just broke. And then I started to make conversation with the volunteers, and then started talking to the kids, which I never thought I'd do. I used to be terrified of people my own age, and to be honest, I still am, but I talk to them now. And then it's gotten, I think I'd done 6 months of surf club, and I was like, okay, these are my people, you know, these are, they're my people, and I was, I wanted to be able to help the way that they helped me. Another way I knew how to do that was to volunteer, so I put myself forward and I did it, and I was, I can't say shit scared, I was really scared.
You just did.
I just did, sorry. yeah, and I didn't, I mean, I still don't know how to make small talk. I mean, I'm awful at the first couple of sessions, but you learn how to build the trust with the kids that you're there with, and you slowly learn about them, and you slowly learn how to get to know them, and yeah.
No, thank you for sharing that. I think it's really interesting to hear kind of your experience as someone that's moved through the project, and when it is something that has that opportunity to progress and have those different experiences as part of the WAVE project, and Alison talking about like that volunteering opportunity and, you know, continuing to be involved, to hear from you as someone that has gone through that, I think is really interesting. Alison, you also mentioned kind of that aspect of like the different kind of experience that the WAVE project is, and the kind of the sensory side, and I wondered Robin, if that was something that you'd experienced as well, either kind of going along or being a volunteer as well.
Oh, it's a lot sensory wise.
Yeah, like I imagine it being very different to maybe some of the other projects or things that people might be signposted to if they were struggling with their well-being or their mental health. And
I feel like, I mean, it's overwhelming, there's no denying that. There's a lot going on. You know, you're putting on a wetsuit, usually a wetsuit, because let's be honest, they don't dry up here. Well, I know, you work magic, but
you're trying really hard to make sure they're dry.
But you're putting it, sorry. You're putting on a wet wetsuit, and it's usually wet and windy up here. And you're putting, and you're all around these new people that you don't know, but it's so overwhelming in the best way possible, which I know sounds daft, but you almost need that overwhelm to quiet your mind, I find. You know, you're concentrating on all these new things that you can't concentrate on what your mind's doing. You know, so you're going out into the sea and it's cold and it's windy and you're dealing with all the temperature changes, and it's just it's crazy, but it's great. It's, yeah, I love
exhilarating.
It. Exhilarating. Exhilarating, that's the word.
It feels like a very different environment to put yourself in, but also one that you can, I suppose, be more aware of. Like you say, you know when you're in control of putting on the wetsuit, you know when you're in control of going into the sea and those experiences. And sometimes I think those of us that experience those different struggles around our mental health or certain sensory things, it's those are things we can't control and we don't know that's about to happen. And I can only imagine that doing something like you're describing with the WAVE project, where you are aware of those things, you have control of them, and you are choosing to put yourself in there. Like you say, then you can deal with the impact of the sensory thing that you know is about to happen.
It, yeah.
Being quite empowering, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a challenge getting a wetsuit on, physically and emotionally. You go through some stuff when you're putting on a wetsuit for the first time, especially when you put it on backwards and then have to take it off and then put it on again. It's a whole ordeal.
That happens.
A lot of times we get kids putting on their wetsuits backwards. Yeah, I mean, when the kids come, they obviously, I mean, we have like a social story thing that they all get provided with, so they know what to expect when coming, but you can never really fully anticipate it. But it's those little achievements, you know, we take it one step at a time. You know, you get introduced to your volunteer, that's one tick off the list, you know. Then you put your wetsuit on, that's another tick. And if that's all you get done, that's all you get done. You know, and then you come back the next week and you add another thing onto that list that you've done. And then you keep building it up. I think people think that they have to go headfirst into everything. And it's not, you just take it one step at a time. And if you can only get up so far, that's okay. You can always come back and try again. We're not gonna, if you come and you stand at the beach and get used to it, you don't even have to put a wetsuit on. You can just come down onto the beach and see what we're doing, get used to the idea, be around the people, and then come back next week and go, okay, I'm gonna give this a shot, you know, and put the wetsuit on and just take it one step at a time, really.
Beautiful. That's exactly it in a nutshell.
It's really hard. Oh, I just makes me want to be over there. I know, maybe not in the morning when it's, I'll be like, oh, actually, it is really cold. You're right about the wetsuits. The project has been going for quite a long time now. I don't know if you're able to tell us maybe a little bit about kind of how it originally started and a little bit about the journey to where the project is now and kind of the things that we're describing happening more recently.
Yeah, so like I say, it started in Cornwall in 2010 with our CEO, Joe Taylor. So he took a little boy into the water surfing and saw a huge impact on him, his mental health and well-being, and thought, oh, I'm onto something here. I came on board, well, personally, I'm a nurse. I was a neonatal nurse for 20 years. And Jamie, the guy that was running up here at the time, he started in 2014 and had got a grant to run a pilot up here. And actually my husband and son were involved in volunteering. And at that point I was probably still the person standing on the beach thinking, you're crazy, it's too cold in there. But slowly, just through, you know, like I mentioned before, we have so many volunteers and the magic wouldn't happen without them, but some people don't like to do in the water. So we do lots of fundraising, lots of events. And I came on board mostly helping out with, we love a bake sale at Wave Project Scotland. So I got involved doing bake sales and saw the impact that, you know, just the sense of community and really just a lot of good people coming together to try and do something good. And it's makes you feel, you know, you've achieved something special when you're helping other people. It's a bit of a cliche, but it's true. So I had got involved and Jamie was ready to move on from the charity in Scotland. And I applied for the job, took a massive leap of faith, left nursing. And in that time, have grown the charity substantially in Scotland. You know, our volunteers went from quite a small group to, I think we have, over 100 regular wow. volunteers in Scotland that are coming along. And the really lovely thing about the project is that sense of community. So all are welcomed, and all the benefits that Robin's spoken of that she got from coming and meeting people and finding her people and finding her family, we talk about that a lot in the Wave Project. We very much are a family, and the volunteers are a community. We welcome all, because everybody has something to bring. If you don't, people think you have to be able to surf to come and volunteer with the Wave Project. Absolutely not. We have, like I said before, bakers, photographers, people that come and do little videos for us, people that run marathons, people that cycle, you know, a whole host of people coming together. But it's that community and that village that, you know, we help to grow the trust, grow the confidence in these young people. And the volunteers get as much out of it as the surfers. They would have to, or they wouldn't keep coming back when it's cold. And, you know, especially at this time of year, it's like Robin says, it is always windy here in Scotland at Wave Project. So our volunteers get something from it too. And it's watching that family come together that has just been so, so rewarding. And in Scotland now, we have two projects. So there's this one in Dunbar, where Robin is based, and then we have a project in St Andrews that Ruri runs there. He started off volunteering up here. We found out very quickly he was a surf coach, and he was a very regular surf coach with us here. And then when we got some funding to run the pilot over in St Andrews, he is doing a brilliant job over there. And we do hope to grow in Scotland further next year. And we're one of many projects. There's projects quite a lot down south, to be perfectly honest, round about Cornwall and Devon. And then you come up the coast. We've even got projects in London, Brighton, Dorset, Isle of Wight, Northern Ireland. So we're all over the UK now, which is lovely.
It's really, again, really interesting to hear about kind of how the project started and that growth and the different areas that are now feeding in. And think one thing that would be really interesting to kind of follow up on, you kind of mentioned a few times like this aspect of the family and the community that's created. And I think so often, particularly kind of within mental health and well-being circles, you hear people talk about trying to find your people, as Robin said, of creating your own community rather than like, oh, somewhere over there is there's a community, go and join that. I think more and more people are starting to realize, okay, there's pockets where people collect, but it's about making your own support system, your own kind of mini community. And it feels like that's quite a big part of what's going on there. I don't know, Robin, if that feels like that's been a big part of your experience or the young people that you're working with, as you see them start to build up those relationships and that support network around themselves.
Definitely. I personally found, I was very isolated. Well, not isolated. I was isolated. I wouldn't go out or anything. So I didn't really have many people that I would kind of hang out with or be around. So definitely having that kind of, I suppose, that group of people that you can look up to, so you can aim to be at and like admire and look to become, but also having people at your own stage as well and kind of seeing that progress of how they've come on and how they're doing and seeing just that kind of, well, they can get there, then I can get there, and then we can kind of keep going up the steps and I can get there. And I think you see that with the kids as well. I think a lot of them, I mean, not all of them, but quite a few of them are in their own little bubbles because they've had to create their own little bubbles to keep themselves safe. Mm. And they come across and they're all very like shy and they hold back and they don't want to let go at all. And then by week four, they're like, you can never get them to be quiet. They're like an open book, you know, they're laughing and they're chatting to you. And it's just, it's lovely to see the kind of the growth in the children as well that you work with and how far they come in just 6 weeks as well.
Yeah, it must be very rewarding to be able to see that. And especially as you kind of talked about that journey as well, where some people are involved or participate for longer, or you build up kind of friendship networks within that base as well. I'm wondering if, does that help you in terms of having those people that become sort of role models within that community and they move through? And I think you talked really nicely about how they're kind of people to aspire towards and also people that are kind of more where you are right now. How much do you feel like having that kind of, I don't know how to describe that, those different kind of levels of support or different levels of your community add into the experience that you get through the WAVE project?
It adds in a lot. I think people hear about the WAVE project and they go, oh, it's just surfing, what can it do? But I've never found that it's just surfing.
Mm.
It is so much more. There's so much more to it as well. And I definitely find, as you said, like the people, having the people at the same stage as me, you know, you can relate to them. You can talk to them about it and you can like, I don't know how to say it. Like, I don't know, it's just really lovely. I don't know how to put it into words other than it's just lovely.
I think we can understand kind of the mindset you're coming with. And you mentioned as well, like the different people that talk about or look at the WAVE project or getting involved in surfing. We've kind of gone around the edges slightly on like who can come in and who can access the WAVE project and how that happens. And it'd be interesting if you're able to tell us, like, if someone wants to find out a bit more about the WAVE project or isn't sure kind of what it is or how to access it, what's the best way to describe it maybe to someone that isn't aware of it or might be struggling or might feel like it's something that they're interested in?
Yeah, so there is a referral process, and unfortunately we can't take a parental referral just because as the project has grown and word of mouth has, you know, spread about the work that we're doing and that people are finding it successful and beneficial, our waiting list would just be too long if every parent that wanted their child to come. So we basically require a referral from a support service, and that can be anybody that signed up as a referral partner. And in Scotland, we certainly have a lot of schools, CAMHS, social work, and we want to be available to anybody that needs us, really. I mean, who's to say what a mental health problem is? So anybody that is facing a challenge in their life, like I say, the only real requirement we have is the age, and that is between 8 and 18 for initial referral. But then once the kids are in, they can stay longer into our surf club. But yeah, there is a referral process. So it would be a case of speaking to a school or a social worker, a teacher, perhaps a GP, and then getting in touch with us. All our contact details, you know, our emails are on the website, and we're more than happy to help people access it, because, you know, it's been great to, when a parent gets in touch with me and say, oh, I heard so-and-so has had a really good experience, you know, I'd love for my child to come, you know, that's a lovely thing to hear. So we're more than willing to help get those referrals in.
That's great. And I think hopefully that also kind of encourages more professionals and people working within those environments to be more aware of projects like yourself and how they can.
Absolutely. Like what you were saying about, you're surprised that more people aren't, you know, doing things like this. And it's, you know, it's lovely to hear forest schools and, you know, people are, and now look at all the swimmers, the dippers that are going all year round. People are very much now seeing the benefit of getting outside and appreciating your environment. And I think now schools and these places, you know, we have a new referral partner, up at the Sick Kids Hospital in Edinburgh, you know, they have signed up now and refer to us 10 kids this year. Mm-hmm. And like you say, it's new people realizing that if we can catch these kids at a young age and teach them the coping mechanisms for life and, you know, teach them how to manage their mental health, it's all right to, you know, to reach out and have a chat with a friend. You know, a lot of people don't think that that's okay. But we're showing these kids that, you know, you come along, you do push yourself out of your comfort zone. And we haven't spoken very much about the surfing element of it, but, you know, that's very much part of the WAY project as well. Yes, we are this safe, wonderful child-led space, but the kids have a great time learning to surf. And when you're trying to catch that wave, you know, you're not thinking about the things going on at home. You're concentrating on staying on that board. So, you know, teaching a skill, getting a risk, but a protected risk that's safe, and you know, you've got somebody there to catch you when you fall off. Professionals are realizing the benefits of that. So, you know, our referral partners are growing and growing, which is great.
That's really good to hear. I think it feels like only recently we have, like I'm down in the south in England, and I feel like the last couple of years we've had more of the kind of the social prescribing and being, you know, you get more signposting to gyms and you're like, okay, cool. But is there more that could be done with this? And this just feels like a real area that you want to see more things like this happen, that it's great and really important that there's loads of services that are more kind of traditional counselling and therapy, and lots more of those are needed. But they are not for everyone, and they're not for everyone all of the time. And to see the way that projects like yours and the way that you've both spoken about it are interlinking an activity, a skill, something to learn, and something very physical, I think is really important to mix that in with our conversations and our support around mental health and well-being. It shouldn't always be you come in and you sit on a chair, you know, and you talk one-to-one with someone. Some people need these different things. I know how much physical activity has made a massive difference for me, just walking and running. And that's a very basic thing, like to actually get involved in something. And the way you've spoken about the more of a, it's a more physical challenge. It's something that's probably different to what you're usually doing. The different senses and thoughts that are going on around, like you say, being in the water, putting on the wetsuit, learning a skill that, let's make an assumption, probably most of us don't have. I think it's just such an interesting and exciting thing to hear about, and hopefully something that more people can get involved in and look into and kind of encourage and support different projects like the one you're doing. I think there's so many people that would benefit from it or have those kind of sparked conversations that I'm sure happen, like you say, on the shoreline when they're waiting to go in or waiting for something to start.
Absolutely. And I think that is why it works so well, and what Robin was talking about, having tried different groups before. And you know, even when we pair up as volunteers and surfer, you know, there's a bit of a walk with the board. You do it, you know, you take one end, your surfer takes the other end, and it is just that chatting. How was school today? What, you know, have you had a good week? Just as you did at the start of this, you know, it's in those gentle moments that people do relax and feel comfortable. And I think the great thing about surf therapy, certainly for the WAVE project, is the therapy happens very naturally because it's in the play, it's in the quiet moments, it's in the, like you say, on the shoreline. And that, I think, because there's no pressure to sit down and tell us all your problems, you know, that is very much why it works, I think. We don't claim to be anything other than that, other than a very welcoming, safe, friendly place where you can come and learn a new skill.
I think it adds in so much, and like you say, having those opportunities and the, I mean, can you imagine anywhere not sitting on a surfboard and having a chat to someone while you're dangling your feet in the sea? I imagine Absolutely. Is probably nicer than most coffee shops. so I think it's encouraging those conversations and through example of this, you can have those conversations anywhere and with anyone. Sure, there's times when you need to sit down and talk to a particular person with a skill set, but actually a lot of the time you just need to talk to someone. And I think the way, Robin, you were talking through earlier of having those people you maybe look up to that you feel like you can open up to, but also sometimes having someone that's alongside you that's also kind of struggling or experiencing something different, or you're both trying to learn a skill at the same time, you're both going in and going, well, okay, I've seen a picture of a surfboard but I've never held one before, what do I do? I think just that experience as well provides a great opportunity for people to get involved. I know you mentioned before about different campaigns and fundraising and being a charity and things like that as well. Are there things that are going on kind of as we roll into kind of winter or early next year that people can look out for in ways for like getting involved or supporting the things that you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're now planning our year for next year. And in Scotland, we do a lot of fundraising events through the year. We have a big, do you want to say about the superhero?
It's a superhero surf where we all get dressed up as superheroes and go out on the surfboards. It's great.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah, we do this once a year in Scotland, and it's a big surf and barbecue and raffle fundraiser. And again, it's, you know, it's not the sort of event that's going to bring you thousands and thousands and thousands, but it's more a big community event where we all come together and just celebrate the superheroes that everybody is. You know, the kids were coming along, the volunteers were giving up their time, and local businesses. And again, it's all part of that community that, you know, they we have our burgers sponsored and provided by the local butcher. And, you know, it's all these people coming together, realizing what a great thing that we're doing. And we have different events throughout the year, spooky surf, Santa surf. Like I said to you, we have loads of volunteers who, if they're going to be doing a marathon, they'll run it for us. We had Great North Runners last year. Next year in April, we've got a skydive. So that's all happening actually on the same day. I think it's April 20th in various of the locations across the UK. We're doing sponsored skydives for the WAVE project. So it's constantly in the background, just as well as your grant applications, lottery funding, things like that. We're doing a lot of community fundraising as well, constantly. And volunteers, I know we touched on it earlier, but we have volunteers in Scotland from as young as 15 up to, I think, 71 is our eldest volunteer. Awesome. And, you know, some might think that they, you know, get to a certain stage in their life and they're not going to join a surf therapy charity. And that is absolutely not the case. And we have, you know, 71-year-old volunteers in the water and out the water. So very much all are welcome, you know. So many different people bring different skills that we're grateful, you know, for anyone joining our family. So if anybody wants to get involved, they just need to, you know, go to the website and look us up. Absolutely.
We've mentioned it a couple of times, the website, social media. If people want to find out a little bit more about the things that both of you have spoken about, where's the best place for them to go and to find out about you?
Yeah, well, there is waveproject.co.uk. And that has all the locations over the UK in there that you can just click on that and get in contact with the local coordinator. And there are also Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I'm sure we're on Twitter as well. And most places have their own personal page as well. We have a WAVE Project Scotland Facebook and Instagram, as do Northern Ireland and the other locations. So it's just a case of Googling and, yeah, dropping us a line.
Amazing. thank you so much to both of you for coming on and sharing your experience, and to Robin, for thank you so much for sharing that insight from both points of view of being someone that's accessed the service and now being kind of following that through as a volunteer as well. It's been ace to hear from both of you. Thank you so much for sharing this evening.
Nice to meet you. Thank you.
These are real people. They do have struggles.
And it starts to get on my nerves. I just shut down.
So many people suffer from mental illness.
To get the word out that men have got to start talking.
A lot of people don't understand the depth of the situation, so they can't appreciate, yeah.
It's difficult dealing with our minds. And the suicidal thoughts were back.
People knew that there was something not right, but they just never really said anything, or probably felt like it wasn't their place to say anything.
You're not depressed, it's all in your head. That's probably the statement I've had people say the most.
I mean, this shit is real, and it's hard, it's exhausting.
Sometimes you need somebody to just give you permission.
And I think people realise how helpful that one conversation can be just to figure out why you are feeling the way you are.
Not only did this help me to light it, it potentially might have helped some other people as well. So it sort of started from there.
People just want to know that they're safe to talk and share these things.
So many people think they're alone. And then you hear other people talk about it and they think, oh, that's so brave, or I could relate to that. And then they want to talk about it.